Madison Avenue is where we're at. Normally, we don't just throw out the address for fun because that'd be kind of boring for you coming to an empty parking lot, or at least a parking lot without broadcasters. But in this case, the three of us, Dave, Katie, and Nate, outside in conjunction with Sleep Train, doing our, well, there, I should say, and we're just kind of partnering up and helping out. School Supplies Drive for foster kids. School is coming up. Please, please do bring by your pencils, your backpacks, any sort of school supplies you can think of that will go directly to kids and make it a little bit easier for them to start out the new school year. We all have all kinds of fun and prizes to give away to people that come out here, and the Barbecue Pro will be here around lunchtime to give away some food. Guys
There's
and
only
girl.
One.
Yeah, just
guy
one.
And girl.
Guy and girl. I spent the remainder of the last segment kind of yammering a bit off of the Jackie Christie clip, and Doug will join us at 8 o'clock. Bob Nightingale coming up at the bottom of this hour to talk baseball. I don't know. The idea being she spoke about weighing two very intimate parts of him.
The fellas.
Yes, as a way to check fidelity. And I didn't give either
full
of you...
Full or empty, yes.
Yeah, full or empty.
Full or empty.
I didn't give either of you an opportunity to comment, and I don't know that you appreciated that or not, but...
That was some of the most terrifying audio I think I've ever heard. And
Because
you know,
you're just
listen.
Scared about the same thing happening. You're scared that this is going to catch on and it's going to become
not,
a trend.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not real comfortable with the science behind it.
That's the only thing I'm questioning, Dave.
Like, you ever gone to the grocery store and shopped in the produce section? They have those scales.
I smell the cantaloupes.
Right?
They have the little scales there.
Yeah. And you just...
I was thinking of the ones at the vet where you put like your cat in it. You know, like the ones that are like,
there you go,
you know,
maybe a truck stop for those of us that are a little older,
depending on who we're talking about. Right. Yes.
So, I mean, Doug being an esteemed colleague and this being his very happy marriage for many, many years, good on them.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say, though.
What's a fella going to do when he's taking care of his own business?
Well, that's mentioned in the clip.
Okay.
Yeah, she says, he took care of business.
How do you know? I don't know. I'm just, okay.
I don't know. Security systems. I mean, that's how Nick Young got in trouble. There's a number of ways that you can check. I don't know. Like, I have a microchip in my dogs so that I can always, like, if I lose them, I know where they're at.
I don't like where this is going.
There's, like, tracking devices on
there
your
you
phone.
Go.
Like,
why
there's
not?
All kinds of ways. You can know where they're at so you can know, you know, what's going on. I mean, I wouldn't choose to do that, go that route. That's a little bit too much work for me.
But hey,
one of those little
own.
Radar yeah. things that they got on a fishing boat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Using Pokemon Go. See what's out there. Yeah, it's a whole different term to Pokeballs. Here's the deal. I texted Doug last night.
Okay.
And I don't want to peel too much back here. He'll come on at 8 to tell the story.
Yes.
But I texted him and I said, "Hey, Dougie Fresh," which is what I call him. That's our
that's
cute,
what I call
cute
him
little
too, isn't
okay,
that cute?
Cute little pet names.
He still calls you Carmichael, right?
He does, okay. Which I really need to get him to call me. I mean,
your name is Dave.
Yeah, my name is Dave.
Like off air.
That's
like
always
you're Dave.
This. Yeah, and last night we were talking. There was no Carmichael. It was Dave. I won't share the whole conversation, obviously, because it's private. But I will share enough to say that I text.
Is it private? Private?
Yeah. Where do you draw the line in this conversation?
I know that's a great point. That's a great point. So I said, "Hey, listen, I know we're buddies. The story that's out, I don't want to cross any lines. So where are you at with talking about this or what's going on?" So about a minute later, I get a call. I get a no caller ID call on my phone.
Yeah.
And I pick it up because I had a feeling.
Right.
I say hello, and I hear this voice that I recognized as him.
Right.
Says, "Who's this?" And I said, "This is Dave." And he goes, "Dave." And he goes, "Man, I got to put you in my phone." Now, I can't do the tone here, but let me just say the tone of this conversation was all very jovial and happy. So don't take anything the wrong way. And I said, he goes, "So what is this text you sent me?" And I said, "Well, it's..."
Well, did he not know?
I said, "How comfortable are you?" I'm reading the text now. "How comfortable are you with us talking about Jackie's interview where she spoke about weighing grapes?"
Yes.
But I said the B word.
Your
for
cherries.
Yeah. And he goes, "What is that?" And I said, well, you know, the interview she did that's on Deadspin right now. And he goes, oh, he goes, what in what? I know she's
he
doing
had
a lot
no
of interviews.
Idea.
He hadn't seen the story.
What?
So one of the more uncomfortable things
hey,
I've
way
ever.
Way to just railroad Jackie there, Dave.
And that's the thing. I didn't. All
who got railroaded here? Right. Jackie or Doug? Right. Okay.
All
who
I
got
was,
railroaded?
I was just relaying just the facts, just the news as I see fit.
Uh-huh.
And so this is on Deadspin. It's not like I made it up. So I although, you know, not like they made it up. So. And she's doing publicity.
Right.
And we're talking about it. And we probably mentioned Basketball Wives about seven times during the show.
Right.
Seven more than we would have yesterday or tomorrow. So we talked about it. And I'll just say Doug was like, oh, okay.
Oh, that wife of mine.
So I asked him if I was going to ask him to come on today anyways to talk Kings and the NBA and all that. And I said, listen, I don't want to surprise you during the show and put you on the spot. And this is why I love Doug, one of the many reasons. He's like, oh, no. I'll talk about anything. He goes, no. We'll address that tomorrow morning, and I'll let you know exactly what does and does not happen. And let's just say it was news to him to a point. So very much looking forward to Doug coming on at 8.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's the first time in my career.
I don't know how I'm going to ask him these questions because Doug and I, you know, we all work together, whatever. And it's, I don't know, there's like a line you do not cross when it comes to your coworkers.
Of course.
But I feel like you kind of have to in this situation.
Doug is, Doug is a former NBA star.
I would like all of our listeners on the text line at 441140 to go ahead and start suggesting ways, different words that we can use for the word we're not allowed to say.
Yeah, that's kind of what we just kind of laid that out there.
We did a bunch of different words.
Yeah.
But let's get like a tally and see which is the most popular, and then we will refer to it as that, those as that during the interview.
Because the first thing I have to tell Doug when he comes on is I'm going to have to go over that list again. Because Doug will just come on and start.
He'll just start talking about basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. Nonstop. So I don't know. And I got to stop down for a second and shift as we're broadcasting out here live. We got a big broadcast table with all our equipment on here. Nate, did what I just think happened over in your broadcast table?
Yes.
I don't know how it happened.
But it happened.
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Okay.
He was talking about basketballs. He got excited.
Nate spilled something.
He spilled something.
Not really. I think I kind of pulled a Le'Veon Bell.
You missed the cup?
I missed. Somehow. I mean, it's not that bad. I just don't know.
Oh, but I can see the...
Stop. It is. It's terrible.
It's gross. Moving on.
All right. We'll take a break.
Terrible.
I'd rather
he
crop dust the entire broadcast.
Seriously.
Than do that right now.
Yeah, right.
We'll take a break. When we come back, this is a tease. Why 49er fans are pissed off going into next year. Well, that could be an entire show by itself. But they are begging Jed York to do one major thing. And we'll tell you what that is next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. To what you said earlier, grapes and cherries, use those two words. There's nothing in radio etiquette against using those two words.
Why, thank you. Grapes and cherries.
Yeah.
We also have Doug's hacky sack.
Can we say football?
What?
Fruit bowl? Should we
is it FUPA?
Should we just refer to it as the fruit bowl?
You could, but I believe if you take the definition of fruit bowl, that would be technically incorrect. Because that's including everything.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're not including everything here.
Oh.
We're just including cherries, grapes, peaches, plums, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
No bananas.
Yes, I understand.
You got me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
You got me. All right.
Is a cucumber a fruit or a vegetable?
It's a vegetable.
Know? Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Whereas tomato
is
a fruit.
Tomato is a fruit. Yeah. See, it was a legitimate question.
I mean, do we really need to draw those kind of lines? Because we at CBS Radio are supportive of both fruits and vegetables.
That's a great point right there.
Right?
100%.
Thank
339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We are out here broadcasting live in conjunction with the Sleepy Train as we are. Katie, you all right?
She's not okay.
Katie's losing it right now. Katie really liked the joke Nate just made, and there it is. She was like, Katie straight up, she had a meltdown like a computer. Like she had her hands up. Like she was like raising her hands, like as in like don't shoot or something, and she was rotating like at 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, looking at both of us, and she was making no noise and her mouth was open, And that's and now I know why she was suppressing the cackle, because she really loved the comment you made about fruits and vegetables, and now it's over. Now you started the engine, and you can't stop
it. It hurts. Oh.
She's good. She's all right.
Oh, my God. Nate, you... Oh, my gosh.
When the 49ers opened Levi's Stadium, the building was hailed as an architectural wonder. By the way, please bring your school supplies.
Yeah. Architectural wonders are things like...
The Colosseum.
The Colosseum.
Hold
Notre
on. Architectural wonders are things that are not
the
able
Eiffel
to be
Tower.
Designed by people that don't get a proper education, and that's tough to happen if you don't have school supplies like pencils, binders.
This is true.
There you go.
Right?
Thank
so
you for that.
Way
there.
To slide that in there.
The NFL's greenest stadium. You know, I've been there. I didn't see a touch of.
Are we talking about the actual
red.
Turf?
They mean like in sheer volume of the amount of grass that's been through there over the
probably
last couple
the
years.
Greenest.
That has something to do with recycling, I'm sure.
It
was designed by HNTB. It's 68,500 seats. 45,000 of those located in the lower bowl. The extensive seating in the lower bowl allows Levi's Stadium to, quote, offer more close-in seating than any other professional sports venue. This is sounding eerily familiar.
Yes, it is.
The stadium was lauded for its views of the surrounding Silicon Valley area. By the way, speaking of Silicon Valley.
Is it Silicon Valley or Silicon?
I have such an awesome comeback, and I'm not going to use it. It's Silicon.
Okay,
Silicon
just checking.
Valley, yes. A total aside, and I, you know, whenever they say something like, no offense, or he's a good friend of mine, you're about to see something
you're
terrible.
Something bad.
Well, when I say not to bring politics up, which supports me, I just want to note, again, politics aside, one of the speakers at the Republican National Convention last night was billionaire and co-founder of PayPal,
Peter Thiel,
who is an early investor in Facebook, billionaire, very,
right.
very rich.
So
he, at one point during his speech, he goes, you know, I'm from Silicon Valley. That's where I live. And, you know, yeah, we're rich and stuff there. But you just drive a few minutes up the freeway and you see Sacramento, or you cross the bridge and look to Oakland, and you do not see the economic success that we have.
Sacramento is he obviously has never gone on something called Google Maps or anything like that.
He used Sacramento as an example of not enjoying economic prosperity. And right or wrong, me being the homer I am, I was split between Sacramento.
Incensed.
Like, hey, we got on the convention. Everyone heard our name. And, come on.
Look at that, what a world to live in, to where you can just be like, look at those non-billionaires over there.
I know.
Those silly Sacramento.
Look at those non-billionaires.
I was legitimately excited that Sacramento got mentioned.
We got some runs.
Look at all those people that don't fly to work in their helicopter. Yeah.
Right. Anyways, so all the stuff, the views and the seats and the connectivity and bloody blue, that's all nice, but
there's
apparently, 49er fans would happily trade that for shade. Okay, if you've ever been to Levi's, or even if you've noticed on the broadcasts, one side of Levi's Stadium it tends to be shady. Now remember, most games at Levi's start at 1 p.m. and the climate in Silicon Valley, that area, San Jose, Santa Clara, is far different from the client that used to be at Candlestick Park on Candlestick Point. You go from windy and cool and some fog and whatever to, well, something closer to what we do. Now, San Jose is not as hot as up here, but it's certainly warm. And I have sat on both sides of Levi's Stadium, shady side and sunny side. And dare I say, this is unofficial, but it's about a 95-degree difference between one side and the other. Your butt burns when you sit down on the hot seats. You're sweating. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming, and I'm sure I'm right, that the seats on the sunny side are the same price as the seats on the shady side. Either way, in Miami, they're taking care of this by adding as part of a $400 million renovation to Dolphins Stadium. They're adding a giant canopy to provide shade. Because the sun is literally rolling directly on you during the entire game, Santa Clara, it's very, very, very hot compared to where Niner fans are used to sitting at Candlestick Park. There's no shade on that side. And for a good part of the game, the entire stadium has to deal with that sunshine. According to a 49er fan, quote, "The heat is ferocious. It was bad. It was penetrating. Oh, my God, it's bad. They need to do something." So, guys, we are on the verge of welcoming in a super green, super Wi-Fi-y, state-of-the-art, huge lower bowl arena to Sacramento, a dream for many, many Sacramentans for years. And I'm not an architect, but I'm pretty confident that sunshine is not going to be an issue at the Golden 1 Center for the fans watching the game. I have no
sense. You say that.
There's a roof on there.
Well, because it's enclosed is what I'm saying.
But see, there's the other part where it's like it's kind of got that little field housey thing going on where there is areas where sun can get in. So, I mean, it's not like impossible to where, you know, the sun
won't. And they've got the one in.
Again, that's not your point. I'm sorry.
They've got the one side where the hole, and it's like the whole panel comes up and it opens the whole arena.
And breeze, as I understand it, can come through.
Delta breeze. Now, that's a whole totally different thing. And that's actually from the bottom, which is pretty amazing.
And they have like they have an under, like little tunnels or something underneath the arena that will shoot Delta breeze under the seats. And
like there's a little opening under every single seat.
They put
a
lot of thought into it.
Isn't the point
architecture,
I don't know. You might have the actual number off the top of your head, but when those numbers get so big, whether it's $1.3 billion or whatever half of that, like the Golden 1 Center is going to be, or less than that, people expect perfection.
Yes.
And that's just not going to be the case.
Levi Stadium.
How do they not think of any type of shade, though?
It's just simply one of the worst wastes of money in sports history.
It's nearly $1.5 billion dump.
You almost want them to restart from scratch.
Right. It was such a bad idea. And to build it there as well. I mean, I just looked up. Today is one of the cooler days in Santa Clara this year, but I just looked it up. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, it's supposed to be 70 degrees in San Francisco, 85 in Santa Clara. Right? And that's not even in the direct sunlight. And we're talking about on game days in August where, you know, bump those both up by 5 to 10 degrees. You're sitting in 95-degree heat in the direct sunlight. That's just not what you're used to. And, every time we bring up how much of an abomination Levi Stadium is, I feel like I need to bring up this story. $1.3 billion, and they didn't even put a soap dispenser in the bathroom of the broadcast booth. That's amazing to me. And not only was there not a soap dispenser, we had to go get a security guard to bring us hand soap.
Wow.
They didn't even look through after and be like, oh, we whiffed on that one. You know, get them a little dispenser. That just, for $1.3 billion, you'd think you could cover having your hands clean.
It really pisses you off, doesn't it?
Well, and here's the thing, and Dayton and I are both 49er fans. I think we can both come to terms here. They could have metal spikes in the seats and a baby crying in the background. if you make the playoffs and are a Super Bowl contender, all of a sudden the weather's much nicer there.
Now you guys are just finding things to complain about.
Well, in addition to being
fried.
Well,
the Jim Harbaugh thing's old, but I'm going to hang on to it.
So you're basically like a fried egg in the sun out there, and you're also watching crappy football. And you're also having parking nightmares, getting in and out, the whole drive itself. Like,
there's nothing better about that place. There is nothing better about that place than Candlestick Park.
If you go back to Michael Crabtree inches away from pulling in that touchdown in the championship game, and you forward to now, and I'm being serious about this. If you said, like, I'll get religious here for a second. If the devil walked into Jed York's room and he said, I'm going to steal the souls of your family unless you do everything possible to tank this franchise between now and July 22nd, 2016, I don't know that there's much more Jed could have done on and off the field to completely destroy, and it's unfair to blame just him, but I should say in general, the 49er brain trust, if you will. Nate, Katie, I don't know that they could have done more to intentionally sabotage on and off the field.
No.
There is no bright side to the 49ers. None. They are not favored in a single game this year.
No, that is incredible.
Wish I could step in front of you on this.
There's nothing. The stadium sucks, and it's not just the sun. It's their chief rival, the Seahawks. Now, that is a stadium, and not just because it's in nice, cloudy, breezy Seattle, but it was built for crowd noise. This stadium might as well be a museum for hospital supplies.
You know, because when you build, when you take on an undertaking like building a stadium and you spend the kind of money, it is such a long, drawn out process. One of the things you have to do is you travel around the league and look at other stadiums. Now,
the people building the King Stadium arena traveled everywhere taking notes.
Yes. So, I mean, football's a little different in the sense that we're talking
about
American football.
Innovation starts in Silicon Valley. You don't need to get out of there if you want inspiration.
But no, I mean, I'm sitting here going, the people that, not the architects that built it, the people that hired them and decided this was the plan and thought it was like they drank the Kool-Aid and bought the sales pitch. Are all of them missing the cup, like Mr.
Right. That you just don't know. And on,
it's like, what are they on?
And I'm not even joking here, as we have to break. You know, the people that built Levi's Stadium have also had, you know, the 49ers are part investors in the Sacramento Republic. And the Republic, when they go MLS, they're going to build a stadium downtown as well.
Don't ask them anything.
Honest to God, I'm not even making a joke here. If I'm the guys that built Levi Stadium, I file for a company name change. Now, you're not going to fool everybody, but you'll fool some people. Like, you do not want that on your resume in any way, shape, or form, because that's like the biggest box office bomb ever movie. As a director, you don't want that on your resume. We'll take a break. We'll come back. A guy with a phenomenal resume from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. A's, Giants fans, tune in. We will talk about the upcoming trade deadline and two teams here locally, semi-locally, that will be looking to be very active for different reasons, most likely, as that deadline approaches. Bob Nightingale next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. I was just relaying to another Nate, our esteemed promotions director and friend.
Commotions director.
I was just
one heck of a shortstop on our
Nate's a national athlete. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe that's just a Nate thing. Like, arguably the two best athletes at the station.
And left side's the strong side.
Well, I mean, that play real sports. That they are. Okay. They're both named Nate. What Nate?
You're awesome.
The one thing I'll always remember about Nate, our promotions director, is it was years ago, and somebody brought a couple gloves and a baseball to work, and Nate was catching. One of our old buddies, Matt Vieira, that used to work here. And I pitched in high school. I hadn't pitched in a long time. I was like, hey, you want to throw a few? Yeah, no problem. So I, a couple just kind of lobbed them in and all that. And then I started throwing a little harder. And then the one time that I really broke loose, I short hopped it right in front of him.
Oh, no.
And Nate, let me tell you, there's no reason.
Out here on the blacktop, huh?
There's out. Yeah, it was right on the side. Nate, you remember this, right? There's no reason why that should not have bounced and hit him right in the subject we're going to talk about with Doug Christie later. Like, it was that short hop. He picked it. He picked it clean. Now, I'm not saying I threw 90 miles an hour, but that was a fastball, and it was fast, and it short hopped, and he freaking picked it clean. So you're damn right he's a good shortstop.
Survival mode is what that is.
My goodness. Yes, and you know what? And he's a fairly new daddy. And I like to think his reflexes help make that possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, that's not working. My point is, during the break, I was just telling him, and I've gotten very good at telling this story now because I've told it about 50 times, about your 34-foot, and I think it grows a couple feet every time I tell the story, 34-foot second-cut double-breaking putt that you made in the win last week to save you and I both about $360 in golf shirts as we were playing. And I was Uriah Faber's golf tournament is today at Cotta Vedera's charity tournament, the Team Alpha Male Tourney.
All dressy nice.
Yeah, so I'm going up there to play, and I haven't touched the clubs since you and I were at the win. And Nate's going to be very nice about this, but as I said before, I parred the first two holes. I'm not a good golfer anyway, so I was very happy. I basically could not hit a golf ball from hole 3 till about, I think I woke up about hole 16.
You can't hit a single hole.
Put it this way, our caddy gave him some advice. She said, your level of anxiety is based on your talent level versus where your expectations are. You need to find more of a middle ground with those.
This is accurate. This is word for word what our caddy told us, told me. Which was basically her way of being like, dude,
you're not that good.
It's clear you suck. Just expect to suck, and you'll be pleasantly surprised if you don't suck. So anyways, yeah, Nate nailed that.
It was a marvelous time.
And then, so I don't
the whole time home.
I don't have that. Well, the good news is today, I don't know who all is in the foursome I'm playing in, but I do know Taro, who owns the Makuni.
Oh.
Taro, who is a phenomenal golfer. It's a scramble. I'm great in scrambles because usually I can hit one good shot per hole. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just one, though. Yeah. I can't hit two or three in a row.
You know what you are? Is you're a great – what's the term for it? But you're a great putter if you have an example to go off.
Yes.
You're a quick study on the putting.
Yeah.
Very true. If I go last and I can see the lines and the mistakes and all that, yes, yeah. I can putt. That's like, and that's my background in miniature golf, Katie. You don't talk about athletics and all that. I mean, you're not the only athlete
competitive
in the station.
Competitive miniature golfer, yeah.
So, yeah, that's happening today, and I will never forget that putt because, really, to be quite honest, that and then later on, I think it was the next day, hitting the straight flush at three card poker on my last amount of chips that I had to gamble.
Yeah.
But Nate will tell you, I was like near tears on the golf course.
He was very upset.
And I didn't want to embarrass the people I was playing with. I wasn't going to throw my clubs in the water at the Wynn Golf Course, one of the nicest golf courses there are.
But you've kind of got this like, it's like a mix between the Tasmanian devil and like the pig pen thing, where when you're like really feeling down on a golf course, there's just this cloud.
Yes.
And you try to not spread it around.
Yes.
But it just
it's raining on
it's
everybody.
There.
Yeah. That's when he gets upset in general.
When I get mad, when I get annoyed, I get loud. But when I get really mad, I get really quiet.
That's when you should be scared.
And he's like calmly going, you have no idea how badly I want to break this club over my knee.
Seriously, I wanted to do was take my 3-wood that I could not hit and have everybody turn around while I just scream bloody murder and beat a tree for about 10 minutes. And I would have felt better. But I couldn't do that. And then Nate comes in and saves the day. And my Vegas trip went from, I hate everything, I want to fly home tonight, screw all of you, to, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. It was everything I could do not to tackle Nate and throw him in the water. It was one of the most amazing putts I've ever seen in person under the press. And we were playing for golf shirts. $180 golf shirts.
That's right.
You know what? You should take all the money that you did not have to, you know, spend on golf shirts and go and buy school supplies.
Yes.
Come by here. Drop them off in these nice Hoblet Dodge trucks.
Thank you.
Fill them up with school supplies because Sleep Train is doing this really awesome thing. That's why we're broadcasting live from outside our KHDK studios this morning. Drop off school supplies for foster kids. It's such a great cause. Get down here. You can hang out with us. There's going to be barbecue later. We're going to feed you. You can look at Nate and see how pretty he is. Everything.
One of the things I mentioned earlier when
and Dave.
There's so many.
Both Nates.
That's true. There's two Nates out here.
Look at those eyes over there.
I know.
Right?
So we need a sounder for every time somebody fails a drug test, as Le'Veon Bell did not fail, but he missed a drug test and is facing a 4-game suspension. It seems like we're talking about it every day. I think we should also get a sounder every time Katie does a switch in the subject and tries to do it. Like, it's so fantastic when she catches me rambling about something and she deftly like changes everything. Like, I should be able to hit a button that's like, Katie's tired of this story.
That's our transition.
Katie Christensen, her senior year.
This is just to be clear, listeners that are joining us now, that was not my senior solo.
Hey, if you bring a toy, you can get $500 off at Hoblet Dodge this weekend. How about that?
Oh, really?
Yep,
a toy
true.
Or like a binder
toy.
Or backpack?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first time I've done that one, too.
Yeah.
We're all due for
it. So to be clear, school
just
supplies.
Just to be clear.
And also, I don't want to put you on the spot, but also a picture with Katie Christensen?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Matt, what did you say? You mumbled or I wasn't. Oh, okay, gotcha. We're chasing Bob Nightingale is what he was telling me from USA Today. Bob's fast.
Bird watching.
Bob is really fast. Well, then, in that case, while we're waiting on Bob, can I tell you about beef?
Where is it, Dave?
Is that what you're having for dinner?
Probably, actually.
Well, we got two little beef slogans in there.
I don't know if you watched any of the British Open over the weekend,
as golfers
call it, the Open Championship.
The Open Championship.
Andrew Beef Johnston was the surprise hit at last week's Open Championship.
Wait, is that a nickname?
That's his nickname, Beef.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if it was
his name's not Andrew Beef.
I didn't know if it was like his middle name, like Nathan Thomas, or you never. never know. Andrew, you never know Andrew these days.
It's a hyphenated last name.
It's like his brother Donald Pork Johnson.
I'm just clarifying. Poultry.
Family tradition.
Andrew, quote, beef, end quote, Johnston was a big hit at the Open Championship. He thrilled Scottish fans. He's English. He looked like he actually enjoyed having fun. He's a big bear of a man.
He's England's large adult son.
He is, let's just say.
I'm gonna pull it up here, Dave, so I can see.
The nickname for him, Beef, is short for Side of Beef, because that's exactly what he looks like, his beard. And just, he is the epitome of when people say golfers aren't athletes. Yeah, look at him. Look at him.
Oh, that guy.
Everyone look up Andrew Johnston.
He's my hero.
Yeah, he's like a little Paul Bunyan.
He is. Look at that beard game he's got.
But he's out there, and you know what? It's one of the things that's most endearing, I think, to average Joe and Jane about golf is you don't have to have this sculpted, beautiful body.
He looks like a member of Duck Dynasty.
He kind of does, actually. Yeah. And somebody who I'd like to see, somebody who I'd enjoy seeing in next year's ESPN, the body issue. I could absolutely see that. So, oh, so he was a hit. And he has been doing interviews as of late. And he was asked about his diet. And he said, quote, lots of chocolate. I ate the chocolate that's still left from Christmas.
Oh.
I don't know what I've got in the fridge, but it's basically chocolate and beer. That's my staple diet. Boy. And as they were doing this interview, they took pictures of his home, including...
Do they drug test golfers? I'm just questioning this.
Yes, they do.
This diet?
You know they do,
actually.
It sounds
like a little...
Yeah. A little weedy.
A little weedy.
They picked up things such as a mini James Harden doll and a poop emoji pillow on his couch.
Oh.
Andrew Beef Johnston.
Well, at least he's not like, because I don't know, that's not a very, he doesn't go to the grocery store very often, it sounds like. He said chocolate from Christmas, right?
Yes.
At least he doesn't have any of those fruitcakes, you know?
Do people like, still do fruitcakes?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think I've ever gotten a fruit. I don't think I've ever tasted a fruitcake.
Oh, I feel like it's something my grandparents still do, you know?
Hey, are you guys...
You don't taste them. You don't
What are you supposed
that.
To do with them?
You put them on your counter at Christmas, so, you know, it's like, oh, I brought something, like baked goods or whatever. And then when people leave, you throw them away.
I've never, yeah.
Has anybody ever had a fruitcake?
No.
I've never tried one.
No, never.
Are you really not supposed to eat them?
I don't recommend it.
Okay. What, Nate?
Are you guys familiar with the other James Harden story in the news?
No.
Was this about him comparing himself to a player?
It's not.
Oh, okay, because he compared himself to Steve Nash when recruiting Ryan Anderson. I heard about that.
That's really lovely.
So he's basically Steve Nash.
Yeah. No, this one is actually starts with Moses Malone Jr. Ringing any bells yet?
Well, I know Moses Malone.
Okay, well, last month he was beaten and robbed outside of a nightclub in Houston.
Moses Malone Jr. was.
Okay, right after the incident, he told a local ABC reporter that the attack was in retaliation for a Facebook post that he made that was critical of Rocket star James Harden. Since then, Houston police have arrested four suspects. Court documents reveal that Malone Jr. also told the cops that the attack was carried out in defense of James Harden's honor. So apparently,
come on.
This is a true story, and I'm reading this off of Deadspin here. According to the document, Malone Jr. was confronted by one of the suspects and 15 other people when he left the VLive strip club at 2:30 a.m. Malone Jr. says that the man began yelling at him about the Facebook post critical of Harden, who's apparently a prominent customer at VLive.
Yes, he is.
The suspect told Malone Jr. that he needed to be punished and then ordered the other suspects to beat and rob Malone Jr., with one suspect allegedly threatening him with a handgun.
You know what? It's stories like this that give strippers a bad name.
I feel like James Harden can handle himself.
No connection has been actually made to the James Harden camp yet, but you know, stay tuned on that one.
I will say that I recall an incident.
You're familiar
with
the institution.
Yeah. At the strip club, I believe it was that same one while he was dating Khloe Kardashian, and how that led to some issues in their relationship.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's... Speaking of being high, I want to read.
You know what? You don't want the V recorded. Get it live.
I want to. You never want to record the V.
Right.
I want to read you guys a quote, and if you know this story, fine. If you don't, it's fun to see who's talking. Quote. Okay. I'm just going to throw the quote out here.
And we have to guess who it is.
They're high. I mean, with these teams right now, they're saying us and Golden State are the super teams, and they're trying not to build that many super teams. And Adam Silver came out with the statement and this and that. And the expectations, I think, of us, we just want to win. Talking to blank, because that'll give it away.
Oh, I know who it is.
But it's a teammate.
I know who it is.
And all the guys who've been around, you've got this guy who just signed for a year. He's got to show why he's there. I've got to show why I'm there. This other guy has to show why he's there. Everyone's trying to prove themselves. We're not a super team.
Is it? Can I ring my buzzer?
Oh, yes. Katie Christensen.
Is it J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith.
Dang it.
When you've got a group like us, it's like, all right, I know everybody wants to do that, but we're going to break this down as simple as possible and just try to go out and win every game. I think winning takes care of every category. So this gentleman is saying us and the Warriors are not super teams, and he doesn't appreciate Adam Silver going out there and everybody referring to them as a super team. Is it perhaps, I don't know, like you said, somebody with the Cavs? No. Maybe somebody with the Clippers.
Oh, it was Carmelo Anthony.
You're damned close. It was Derrick Rose of the New York Knicks.
You're kidding.
Derrick Rose of the New York Knicks.
Love it.
Derrick, and maybe I'm wrong here, like
Nobody's
you said earlier.
Nobody's calling the Knicks a super team.
Yeah, who is calling the Knicks a super team?
The Onion?
Phil.
Right? Yeah, the Onion.
The Onion.
You're exactly right. A super team? Maybe a super freak. I mean, could they be better next year? Yeah.
They'll be better.
You have Derrick Rose and his 12 games that he'll play. You have Kristaps Porzingis or whatever. You have Carmelo Anthony. Of course, I mean you have talent on the team.
Is Noah? Have we? I haven't looked that up in a while.
What?
Because he was favored to be going there in free agency. Is that where he ended up going?
Who?
Joakim Noah.
Noah's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've got
some good.
Yeah.
Some of them might be a tad past their prime.
But a super team?
That is not what they
are. I don't even know if I can call them a playoff team.
This is when the solo should
come
in.
Well, see, I mean, that's it, though. Like, Derrick Rose is still living in 2012. Right? I mean, like,
yeah.
Maybe you could consider this a super team like 4 years ago before when Derrick Rose still had legs and Joakim Noah wasn't 80 years old and all that type of stuff.
Matt, what did you say there?
Bob is ready to go.
Oh, Bob's ready. Okay. Well, joining us right now from USA Today to talk a little bit of baseball before we hit the break, it is Bob Nightingale. Bob, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, we're up on time. I know we had some phone issues. We appreciate you joining us. We'll get right to it, Bob. Trade deadline coming up very quickly. We, of course, here close proximity to the Bay Area, dealing the A's and the Giants. Bob, I assume they're going to be approaching the trade deadline two completely different ways. Let's start with the A's. What do you see possibly happening with them in the next week?
Well, obviously, Rich Hill will be traded. Give him one more start and then move him. It's probably Josh Reddick, too, depending exactly what they get for him. But I would think those two. Hill right now is probably the best pitcher on the market. So it's certainly a seller's market. They should get a boatload for the guy. He's just a free agent at the end of the year, too. So they'll make out quite well with Hill.
Josh Reddick is a name with the A's that a lot of people are interested in. Do you have any predictions or have any murmurs of what could potentially be happening with his future?
No, I don't. I mean, one thing could use them certainly is the Cleveland Indians. You know, they don't have they're not sure when they get Michael Brantley back. The Giants could actually use someone like that. But there's no natural fit. Probably a team that could use them more. Would probably be the Indians right now.
You know what I actually heard too, Bob, that the Cubs might show a little interest, even though they seem to have some depth in the outfield, that they could be looking to maybe just add an extra bat. Do you see anything there?
You know, I don't see anything there. They're so loaded. I just saw the Cubs. I mean, they got guys stacked up on the bench that can play and things like that. I cannot see the Cubs. That one doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange too. But then I was also seeing them people throwing out the idea that they might move Kyle Schwarber for a piece this year, and that again doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So do you think that people are just throwing the Cubs name out there just to maybe, I don't know, get a gauge on some of their prospects and see how they feel?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so many nice players and people want, you know, Schwarber or Baez. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, they would trade Schwarber if you're talking about, okay, and get Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, both of them, but not just for one for one. So I think the situation right now where just people are saying, hey, everybody's desperate, so let's get your best pieces, then that's not happening.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, joining us on KHTK. San Francisco Giants are not enjoying the second half, to say the least. Swept by the Padres. Got the hell kicked out of them by the Red Sox, despite a very interesting game in that series where they were going back and forth. And everyone's looking to them needing some bullpen help. How active do you see Bob Evans and Brian Sabian being?
I think very, very active. I mean, Brian Sabian has never been afraid to trade prospects. So I think I think they'll get a reliever for sure on this thing. I'd be stunned if they don't make big moves. One reliever, if not two, maybe even a starter. So I think they're going to trade the top prospects.
And Bob, how much does the health of Hunter Pence kind of affect how they approach this trade deadline?
It does. I mean, they were able to survive for a while without him. You know, they're going to get him back. But the trouble is, which Hunter Pence can get back? You know. He's missed a long time. He can't not can just step up there and be the Hunter Pence everybody remembers. So I think it's good. I think it's going to be imperative for the Giants to go get some type of outfielder just to get some insurance.
You know, staying in the NL West, Giants not the only active team. How much is the situation with Clayton Kershaw going to affect the Dodgers and how active they are? And do you see kind of a I don't want to say a bidding war, but between the Dodgers and Giants, maybe one affecting the other a little bit?
Oh, I think that'd be it's a big-time effect in Dodgers. No, you know, they haven't been big movers and shakers that traded in line for a while. I mean, last year they could have Cole Hamels very easily or David Price, and they backed away. And now that you don't have Kershaw, hey, you're not going to go far at all without Kershaw. So I would think you'd be very, very conservative.
Bob, we appreciate it. You can always read Bob at USA Today and follow him on Twitter at Bob Nightingale. Always appreciate you joining us. Thanks for giving us a lowdown. We'll talk to you later in the season.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Bob. That is Bob Nightingale. We'll take a break. We are outside 5244 Madison Avenue collecting school supplies for foster kids in conjunction with our good friends over at Sleep Train. Please do stop by. We've got all kinds of stuff to give away. There will be lunch here with the Lowdown and the Barbecue Pro coming up right around noon today as well. So stop on in, drop off some school supplies, and say hello. Doug Christie will say hello next. You will not want to miss the next hour of this program as Doug and Chael Sonnen join us, Chael, at 8:30 later on today. So we'll do all that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.